A badge of honor. Police officers and first responders wear badges to let their communities know they are here to protect and serve. But that's not how it feels today. And the stress of the job is taking its toll, taking lives through suicide and post-traumatic stress injury. A Badge of Honor podcast features the cast of the same name, Sam Horwitz and John Salerno. Sam, John, and the team offer the first responders workshops through their critical incident stress management teams and mental health liaisons to offer state-certified TCOL credit programs that save lives. It's time to smash through the stigma. It's time to heal from your injury, and it's time to back our blue. Welcome to a Badge of Honor podcast. Here are your hosts, Sam Horwitz and John Salerno.
Hey, welcome to a Badge of Honor podcast with John and Sam. We are powered by the OBBM Network. And, we're going to just jump right into today, man. It has been a busy week for both of us. Actually, the last couple of weeks have been very, very busy, but all good stuff making a difference. Sam, this week we just attended the David Clark Superhero health fair. And, this was my first year ever being to it and really even hearing about it. And I took so much away from that workshop that the article that I'm doing for Blues Magazine really all ties into this, because there are so many components when we talk about mental health that, and the variables that go into it. When we, as law enforcement officers, we're always like one and done, or this didn't work, so I'm giving up. That didn't work. It's not going to work for me. And we give up. Our guests today really tie that whole package together with not only the mental stress, mental health, physical health, dietary, speaking and coaching, and just living off the job, healthy, yeah. Mentally healthy, right? We all need to be in that hypervigilant state on a job because we got to keep our head on a swivel. We got to make sure that we're sharp and ready to go. But we got to know how to turn that off when we punch out. And not let the effects of the job impact the rest of our lives or our families' lives.
Yeah, and there's so many different components that go with that, because you have the retirement component. So you have the financial component. You have the transition component, because you're not wearing the badge anymore, right? So we've got that whole thing. And how do you tie it all together? Because it's like you said, you can try and address one thing at a time. And sometimes it feels overwhelming. Like, what do you mean I got to do all that? But our guests today, Tammy and Chris from Law Enforcement Coaching, they have tied it all together. So you don't have to try and put that puzzle together yourself. You have a guide. They have a team of coaches. And so without further ado, let's welcome Chris Zamora and Tammy Sharp, the founders and CEOs of Law Enforcement Coaching, to a Badge of Honor podcast. Welcome, guys.
Welcome.
Hi. Chris is muted.
Yeah, Chris, you're still muted. That means, Tammy, you're supposed to talk the whole show.
That's fine. Well, because I'm laughing because of the background. So one of these things just isn't the same.
there you go.
So I'm actually currently on Maui right now. I lived here for a really long time. And with everything that's going on, I came back to help. So we'll get into some of that as we talk, but I just want to let you know what's happening back here.
All right. Sure. Yeah. Tammy, why don't you kick it off? Tell everybody listening and watching, about your background.
Yeah. So I'm Tammy Sharp. I'm originally from Washington State. My dad was an outpost deputy sheriff up in a really small, remote little town. He was the only sheriff for about a 72-mile radius, and his closest backup was one state trooper that lived 14 miles away from us. And then the next backup they had was another concrete PD, which was 30 miles away. So I had a very unique upbringing. I grew up in a patrol car. I learned to run radar when I was 4. I helped write tickets. I decided who we pulled over and who we let go. And it was very unique. And then after I left Washington, so my dad passed away when I was 18. I went on a roundabout way of, adulting, ended up on Maui. For most of like my 20s into my 30s. And then I moved to Arizona. Chris and I, for transparency, we are in relationship with each other. So I bring the family and the spouse component to law enforcement coaching. And then I'll cue Chris up to talk about his experience.
Hi, yeah, I'm Chris Zamora. And I Retired in 2021. I did 23 years with the Gilbert Police Department in Arizona. Some of the assignments that I was able to work, patrol, right out of the academy, they put me undercover. So I went back to high school because I was 150 pounds and only 22 years old. So
little 21 Jump Street there.
Yeah. Yeah. Or as my, my commander used to call it, 21 Chump Street, but that's a good way to keep me humble, I guess. But, yeah, so I did that. I did patrol. I did a second stint undercover. This time I went undercover along the U.S.-Mexico border within one of the cartels. I worked robbery, homicide, internal affairs, and you know, I was able to do a multitude of different assignments, which kind of it gives me that experience that I can draw from, because every assignment has a different type of stress. So along with that, you know, Tammy and I are both clinical hypnotherapists. We're transformational life coaches. Tammy's a Reiki master. I think she forgot to mention that. I'm a shamanic Reiki practitioner and a yoga instructor. So I utilize those modalities and I translate. Well, we both translate it so that law enforcement can understand it. That's me.
All right.
Yeah, and as you guys both know from getting your certifications, especially in the, I'll call it non-traditional, right? Because we have been talking about a yoga. It's like this theme, John. I think we should be immersed in it because everything we've done this entire month, something has involved yoga in it and breathing and really getting centered. And with you bringing Reiki, I just got to ask right off the bat, how hard of a sell is that to law enforcement?
You know, it's been really interesting that times have changed in the last few years. It's surprised me that I have a lot of people reach out to me because I kind of watered down my woo-woo part of my bio. So I can go full spectrum woo-woo on you. But it's not woo-woo. There is science behind it. It does work. And that's actually one of the things that I came to Maui to do was that energy healing and clearing for people. But the breathing, the yoga, it's starting to make sense for law enforcement. So we do have a lot of clients come to us being like, I want to know more about this. And it's opening up. It's not so like one of the things that we did with law enforcement coaching is we translated the holistic woo woo world to make it make sense because we don't resonate with a lot of that. Like, I'm not going to go to a drum circle and, you know, go to Burning Man. Those aren't our types of things, but that doesn't mean like you don't have to wear patchouli and have a man bun just to go into the holistic world. There is another realm to it.
Okay, John, exactly. You're required to grow your hair. We're going to do the man bun. I'm just saying.
Yeah, you'll never see me with a man bun. You'll see me with a buttered, greasy bun, you know, but you'll never see me with a man bun. But it's funny you bring up Reiki, because when I was in Utah, I did a 30-day rehab 2 years ago, and they introduced that to us, and it was one of the elements of healing through post-traumatic stress, and there was a lot of great aspects with it. Some people took to it, some people didn't, and that's what you know, and that's what's great is, and you touched on it real good. Is that in the last few years we have grown, our law enforcement have kind of really shaken off the suck it up attitude. A lot of them,
yeah.
You know, we're finding bosses now that are being more receptive to mental health and different treatments. And just as you said with the yoga, you know, 10 years ago, 15 years ago, they were like, "I am not putting on yoga pants. I ain't going to. I don't even want to pass a yoga studio," you know, because of the stigma that went behind it of you got to have a cappuccino or a you know, it's crazy. But now,
pinky out.
Yeah. But now I am really seeing a lot of openness through our law enforcement, through all our first responders that are willing to dive in and see if it really works. So I think this is going to be the next stage of mental health therapy for many.
I think one of the things, sorry, Chris, really quick. I think I would honestly attribute a lot of that to EMDR because EMDR has taken in its, you don't have to talk about it. That's the thing. A lot of people, they don't want to talk about the traumas, the thing that they've experienced. Cause when you do that, you have to relive it. And once you open Pandora's box, it's a lot. So with these holistic alternative ways of going about it, with EMDR, with Reiki, you don't have to talk about it. You can still move the energy out of the subconscious. And we can talk more about that too. But I also want to say, it's important to keep talking as well.
You're exactly right, because that's the first thing, you know, in our workshops, we say, it's like everybody has some sort of response, stress response to a really traumatic event, or just, you know, a bad car accident, whatever it is. It's not, trauma is trauma. There's no comparison. And the fact that it's completely normal, just talk, and whether it's to your dog, your bird, you know, we have emotional support animals for a reason. You don't have to have one that has a piece of paper, you know, to talk to that. But, you know,
is it weird that your dog answers you back though?
Yes, that would be strange. But, you know, you get the eye contact. They get it. Guys, if you are just tuning in, sorry. We just went down. We just took a left turn somewhere. We are talking to Tammy Sharp and Chris Zamora from Law Enforcement Coaching. We got to take our first break. We will be right back.
Move freely, America, without medical restrictions or penalty. Without medical freedom legislation in place, our rights and freedoms are one vote away from being dissolved. Move freely, America, with one voice, without fear of retribution, achieving a common goal, medical freedom. We the people make our voices heard by connecting with state legislators and engaging a constitutionally compliant medical bill of rights for all citizens. Individually, change is improbable, but as an aggregate, attainable. It's time to act with one voice. My voice.
And my voice.
And my voice.
And my voice.
To protect our freedom, creating one voice that cannot be ignored. This requires your voice too. Move Freely America. Go to movefreelyamerica.org to find a chapter near you. Plug in, donate, and help our legislators defend our God-given rights under the Constitution. Move Freely America. My voice.
And my voice.
And together with your voice, we're one voice that cannot be ignored. Donate today. MoveFreelyAmerica.org.
Hey, welcome back to A Badge of Honor podcast with John and Sam, with our special guests, Tammy and Chris, with Law Enforcement Coaching. Before we left, we were just starting to branch out onto the different resources and modalities that help our mental health throughout law enforcement. You know, this last seminar that we went to, and you guys bring up a lot of good things on, you know, it's a whole package, and you guys put the whole bow on top of it through your website. And I've been doing a little research on this, and you know, it's not just couch therapy. We got to look at dietary plans. We got to, you know, when we look at physical health, when we look at physical working out and de-stressing. All right, we can go into the gym of the precinct or the command, and we can work out. We can go onto the treadmill. All right, but we have to do a little bit more. We have to walk through a park. We have to walk through our neighborhoods. We have to listen to the sights and sounds away from the job. The children's laughter, the breeze, the trees rustling. That all affects our senses, our smells, our sights, everything around us, which centers us, like you were saying, Tammy, you need to be centered. And working out in the gym at the precinct does not center you, because you're hearing your podcast, or you're hearing like Metallica music blaring in the background. You're hearing the traumas of the other cops, the bitching, the moaning. That does you no good. Yes, it's good to get strength-wise. It's good, you know, strengthening tool, but we need the exercise, the emotional exercise of walking. And just the calm of hiking, of going through the trails and absorbing what's nature around us, instead of all the bad that our job brings. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. Chris, yeah. Do you want to say, I don't want to over talk. So if you want to share,
no. I got. No, it makes total sense. You know, and everybody responds differently. You know, some people might like working out, and they might like, you know, we talk about meditation. One of the things in yoga is to meditate. Well, meditate can be anything, right? It could be listening to your music at the gym. You're zoning out and you're just focused on whatever it is that you're doing in there. That is a form of meditation. I don't have to sit here for 5 or 10 minutes, you know, and then just breathing. Some people do. For me, it's going to the gym and meditating for an hour, listening to my music, running and lifting and doing whatever I want to do, or training in MMA. You know, we, when it comes to that full package of wellness, you know, we want to focus on the physical side of things. We want to focus on, you know, like you said, the nutrition. We want to focus on the mental side. We want to exercise this because we don't exercise this enough. How do we do that? Well, you can read a book. You can play a game of chess. You know, engage in conversation like we're doing right now.
Not modern warfare. Oh. Or anything.
There's a time and a place.
In moderation. There's nothing wrong with it. But right. If you're sitting on it, if you get off work and you go straight to your video game system and you just veg out for the rest of the night until you have to go back to work the next day, that might be an issue because now you're shutting out your family. You're shutting out other things that could help you. But again, moderation is the key there. Go ahead, Tammy. I don't want to.
Well, no, and we zone out, and it's fine. When you get off work, we're stressed. We're all tired. Like collectively, we are tired. And so, you know, binge watching a show or whatever, it's fine to do that. But again, everything in moderation. And some people are kind of just numbing out versus dealing with it. And then it creates this whole other spiral of things. So, and just the importance of disconnecting from all of, there's so much noise. And that's one of the reasons that, you know, coming back to Maui, I knew that there was going to be a lot of moving parts, a lot of energy. Normally when I come, I have so many friends, I stay with somebody, but I got this condo so that I could have my own bubble to protect my energy, to slough off all of the heaviness of the day and then reset so that I could go about, so I can be of service and not be burned out, reactive, or just a jerk to people.
Yeah, we often talk about, you know, when you get to the point where your work has consumed you, where you're not able to get the break, where you're using the stuff at home as a distraction instead of you should be plugged in, you know, that's the red flags. And if you guys are just, we talked about the website, John, you mentioned it. For those of you guys who are listening on your favorite podcast app, it's lawenforcementcoaching.com. Everybody watching, it's been up on the screen. So Chris, with your background and all of the, I'll say, heavy duty lifting, especially in the undercover stuff, John has experience in that. That's a whole nother world of stress. And the ability to balance that, people, you know, that are watching you and seeing you on this podcast, you can go on the website and see what Chris looks like. If you're listening, you know, you're like, you know, a guy, you've been in tough situations. You come off as very confident. You work out. So welcome. It seems like for a lot of folks in law enforcement today, and especially the kind of, I'll call it, they've been in, you know, 5 to maybe 10 years, they see you as an example upon retirement. And we've had a couple of other guests that are really taking care of themselves because they understand the mental, the physical connection and what that does. When we're talking about Reiki, when we're talking about yoga, when we're talking about, you know, the life coaching thing and the financials, you present yourself in a way that it's like, hey guys, here's why this is not woo-woo. And here's why you need to pay attention, because all of you 5, 6, 7, up to 10 year folks, you want to get to 20, 22, you know, in Texas. I think we met a guy who's been in 42 years. I mean, that totally, you know, blows our mind to think about that. So we have law enforcement coaching. We have you guys that are front and center say, here's how you do it. I don't want you know, don't fall into the pitfalls here. So tell us about law enforcement coaching and how they do that.
Well, one of the things we do is we use our personal experience, right? I had to experience the many pitfalls of law enforcement in order to fully understand it. And I did. I experienced it. As a matter of fact, there were two separate occasions where I almost walked away from this career because I figured it's just easier just to quit, right? My 13th year on and then my 18th year. I had 2 years left until I could retire. And I was almost willing to walk away. And what kept me, my 13th year, what kept me there, I actually typed up my resume and I walked it up to the chief's office. But before I walked in, I started to process everything that I'd been through. And it wasn't an easy road to become a cop for me. Then that's a completely different story for another day. But something came into my conscious before I walked into the chief's office. When I worked undercover the very first time in the high school, one of the older narcs said something to me that really stuck with me. He said, when you're in a drug house, you're responsible for your own safety. Don't expect us to come in there and rescue you. You're responsible to get yourself out of there. We can have an entire SWAT team waiting at the front door with a ram to go to make entry and to rescue you. But if a guy or if a suspect has got a gun or they got a knife and they're attacking you, they're not going to get in fast enough to rescue you. So you have to take that initiative. You have to get yourself out of there. And so when that dawned on me, I realized this is not my, because I was dealing with post-traumatic stress at that time and I didn't recognize what was happening. So I was willing just to leave. And once I realized that, it's like, wait a minute, this is not the department's responsibility. I was waiting for the department to come to me and say, hey, we're going to rescue you. We're going to help you deal with this. The problem is they didn't know that I was dealing with post-traumatic stress. Why? Because as cops, we're great at suppressing. We can suppress our feelings and emotions because we become masters at suppressing. Why? Because we have to get through those really bad crime scenes that involve kids, that involve death and destruction. If we don't have the ability to suppress, we won't get through it, right? So when that realization hit me that the department has no idea that I'm going through this and it's not their responsibility for my well-being, it's my responsibility, I got to take ownership of it. And it's funny how that narc, his saying came back and it helped me. And so that got me started on this journey of coaching. And I relapsed 18 years in. Again, it happens. Even though I was an instructor, I was a CIT instructor, and I taught about suicide awareness, you know, in law enforcement. I talked about the red flags to look for, you know, when you're dealing with post-traumatic stress, but yet I still didn't recognize it. I didn't recognize it in me. And so just part of coaching is all about self-awareness, creating that self-awareness so our officers know when they're going into that dark place. Once they're in that dark place, well, if they can recognize they're going into it, maybe they can stop it. Maybe they don't have to go in there, but also recognizing when they're there, because how long are you going to stay there? Some people stay in there for years. Others may stay in there for a few weeks, a few months, a few days. But if we have that self-awareness, we can get ourselves out of there, or we can prevent ourselves from going there.
Chris, you hit the nail on the head with taking responsibility. We got to take our quick break right now. We will be right back. Stay tuned, everybody.
Interested in starting a podcast or TV show? Worried about what you'll say and how to keep it engaging? Think you'd like to be a guest on podcast, radio, or TV shows? Hi, I'm Susan Hamilton, owner and founder of OBBM Network, and I would like to invite you to an OBBM media training to get the tools you need for a relaxed and polished performance you'll be proud to share. Our specialized training techniques include role play, voice training, and everything you need to deliver a confident, clear, and engaging interaction. Go to offbeatbusiness.com. Go to the calendar and register for a training that's convenient for you. Dates available now, 214-714-0495.
Hey, welcome back to A Badge of Honor podcast with John and Sam, with our special guests, Tammy and Chris, with law enforcement coaching. You know, and please, for anybody who's listening, do not associate this with the stigma that goes through life coaching. This is law enforcement coaching that has a huge, huge benefit to everybody involved. Before we left, we were talking about Chris's career a little bit. And, you know, when you were struck at your 13th year and your 18th year of post-traumatic stress where you didn't know where you were going, you know, we have to hit our officers young, because we don't know when the career is going to end. And like I'm dealing right now with a Little Elm police officer here, who has got about 6 years on the job. He loves the job. He's a motor cop, right? And he got into a motorcycle accident. He's severely injured, and he probably won't go back to work. A career-ending injury is enough to set you off. So we have to be prepared from day one to how to handle what happens if my career ends tomorrow. Because each day we live on the edge. We don't know what it's going to bring. We don't know what tomorrow is going to bring. So we have to, we can't turn around and say, well, I got 10 years to worry about that. I got 5 years to worry about it. No, you don't. That's why you have to jump in the water now and learn more, every resource you can, just like when you're in the academy. These are the resources that are going to keep you healthy throughout your career and after your career, no matter what.
I want to touch on, sorry, Tammy, this is a really important point from what Chris, what we left off with the self-responsibility, and it goes directly to what John just said. I'm going to play devil's advocate here. There seems to be a big shift, especially as we're looking at the younger generations, where it's, no, you're supposed to take care of me, right? You get, and law enforcement is no different. And that's why I think we have such a big turnover rate, because you've got the call it command at a certain age, and you've got the new folks at a different point where it's like, well, aren't you supposed to provide this for me? And aren't you supposed to provide all the mental health? Aren't you supposed to provide all the financial coaching? Aren't you see what you see where I'm going like this? And yeah. We hear it from a lot of different departments, but it's mostly from the younger folks. And so, Chris, when you brought up self-responsibility, it really, that is what it is all about. Because you can't be the best that you want to be for yourself, or that you can be, unless you go home every night, look at yourself in the mirror and say, what am I missing? I talk about a chocolate chip cookie recipe. What's missing from the recipe?
I don't want to interrupt, but I'm just going to jump in on that real quick. Because what Chris said is right, but... I'm going to throw a button there.
It was playing devil's advocate.
Right. Because, yes, it is our responsibility. But like Chris said, in the 13th year, he did not see it. So it is up. We are our brothers and sisters keepers. Right. We will back people up through a gunfight, through anything. Right. So it is our job. If we see the signs of somebody battling, if we see that person maybe not the same anymore, it's up to us to ask the tough questions. And like Tammy, when we talked in the beginning, when you said, you know, we asked, are you fine? I'm fine. And we know they're not fine. Most of us turn around and go, oh, okay, I'm glad you're fine. You know, we're bullshitting, but we do not take that extra step and go, come on, let's go get a cup of coffee. Let's sit down. Let's further discuss this. We leave them dangling. With the how you doing, and with the I'm fine, okay, but you know they're lying. So we have to ask those further questions. So we are our brother's keeper at some point, but we do have to take responsibility. So it is a kind of a catch-22.
Yeah, well, you know, I was going to address this. You're right. We number one, we have to be able to take responsibility for ourselves. That's the bottom line. Think about it like this. Even if it's a new, even if it's the Z generation, the Zoomers, right? If they're doing a traffic stop, and they, as they're walking up to that car, bad guy jumps out and starts shooting at them. Are they going to say, time out, wait, I need to get my backup here. I need somebody with an AR. I need other people here. Or are they going to take care of it right there on the spot? They're going to take care of it right there on the spot because they have to. If they don't, they will not survive that. That's the mentality that these the younger generation, my generation, Gen X, that is a mentality we have to take ownership of ourselves, right? We cannot expect something external like the department to take that initiative. Now, a smart department, a progressive department, recognize if we take care of our people, they will stay. If we take care of our people, they will be out there, they can take care of the community, and we'll have community support. As a matter of fact, right now, recruitment is at all-time low. Nobody wants to be a cop. Why? Well, if you look at millennials and you look at the Zoomers, What is their big thing? Their big thing is they want to be a part of something bigger. And Sam, you touched on it. They want to feel like they're going to be taken care of, right? If a department invests in something like peer support, coaching, psychiatry, things that help their officers maintain a level of balance, this new generation, they're going to latch onto that. They're going to want to work for that agency. Gone are the days I call it the dinosaur mentality. When my first year on patrol, my sergeant told me, don't ever share your feelings and emotions with anybody, not to a psychiatrist and not to a counselor, because if you do, you're going to be committing career suicide. You may not be fit for duty. This is what I was told my first year as a police officer, a young officer. I didn't know any better, and I respected this man because he's my boss. But I don't mean to be disrespectful or to speak ill of him, but where did he learn that from? He probably learned it. Yes. And then it came, and what are we doing? We're repeating the same bullshit that's been repeated for generations, and it's not working. Excuse my language. No. It's just not working, right? And you know, I speak on my own experience. I almost retired. I almost resigned. And I cannot tell you how many of my coworkers resigned prematurely. And I see them years later, and it's always the same. I wish I would have stayed. I think I could have gotten through it, right? I didn't want to live a life like that. So anyway, Tammy, sorry, I didn't mean to. Sometimes I get in this long venting. I'm very passionate.
Man. I know.
No, it cued me up for what I was going to say. It all circled back. So all of that is literally the driving force behind why we created law enforcement coaching. In law enforcement, wellness has been a reactive damage control model. And there's been the stigma, which is, we call it stigma, but it's culture. So our mission statement is to be a catalyst of change in the culture of wellness within law enforcement, because it doesn't work. It's not sustainable. My dad was a statistic. He was 20 years Air Force. He was over 20 years law enforcement. He got diagnosed with stage 4 prostate cancer, and you know, right after he retired. And I only saw him cry one time in my entire life growing up with him. The only time I saw him break down was when he got his death sentence, the diagnosis. But I learned the power of the mind, because I was 11 years old when he got diagnosed. They gave him 6 months to live tops, best case scenario. He said, fuck that, that's not my story. And he lived for 7 years in complete remission. So that's where I started learning some of my stuff. So with everything that we do with law enforcement coaching is we pivot and we take a proactive preventative maintenance approach. We can still help. You know, you were talking about the officer that was injured earlier in their career. When Chris said we are coaches, it's all from our own experience. So who comes to mind immediately? We have several coaches that have been injured or shot in the line of duty. They've gone through it. So Stephanie, if you go on our website, so Stephanie, she, early in her career, jumped over what she thought was just a median, and it ended up being a 60-foot drop. And so she fell and broke everything. Basically, they didn't rush to go get her because they thought she was dead. She lived. This was at the beginning of her career. She's a badass. I always say she's a badass, but she still went on to go through and become a really badass officer. And so she's a coach. She's very passionate about injury recovery. So we have coaches that are not only, this is the big thing, and one of the reasons there's stigma around seeking out help too, is the lack of understanding. Because unless you've been in law enforcement, you just don't understand. And we support therapists and psychiatrists and everybody, but if you don't get it, there's a disconnect. So all of our coaches are culturally competent, culturally experienced, and that's the biggest difference between us and anybody else.
Well, that's amazing. Hey, guys, if you're just tuning in, you are listening to Tammy and Chris from Law Enforcement Coaching. We got to take a quick break. John, I promise you get the next question.
I'm going to hook up with Stephanie.
Look, when you need to respond to an aggressive situation to protect yourself, your family, or your property, understanding your firearm and legal position are critical. Officers know your skills are only as good as your commitment to training. So know what you're doing, so when you're in a vulnerable situation, we can count on your response. Whether you're a beginner or a licensed gun carrier, Carry in Texas offers basic firearms training, Texas permitless carry courses, license to carry, and basic 2A courses, so you can understand the responsibilities, situational awareness, and learn the technical skill required when you carry your firearm. Go to carryintexas.com to find the right course for you. Join me, former United States Secret Service agent Samantha Horwitz, on the range for beginner basics, LTC prep, and range practice. Go to carryintexas.com today. That's carryintexas.com.
Hey, welcome back to a Badge of Honor podcast with John and Sam and our guest Tammy and Chris with Law Enforcement Coaching. Before we left, I mean, there's a lot of stuff to digest with us throughout the whole podcast up to now. But when you talked about some of your life coaches, your law enforcement coaches, you brought up Stephanie, and she's your director of operations. And we discussed our Little Elm police officer here that was in a bad motorcycle accident. Stephanie had bad injury. She broke everything. That's where this officer stands. So I'm going to Saturday, I'm meeting with everybody at Little Elm. So I'm going to give Stephanie's info to this officer, because, you know, that's an uplifting thing that shows if she can do it, if she can come back, if she can work through it. When you hear the stories of other officers that have suffered these extreme injuries and really made it back, that's an uplifting thing that helps in the healing process. It makes you fight a little harder. And you don't hear your boss going, oh, you're never going to come back. You're never going to come back. This will fight so you can come back. You know, we have a Fort Worth officer here, Zach, who was an Iraq veteran who lost both his legs in an IED incident. And he's got two prosthetic legs, and he is a full duty police officer. Shows determination on, listen, I'm never down and out. I can always get back up and go as long as I have the balance, the mental health strength, the physical strength, and the support behind me from my department.
Yeah, mindset is everything. Community, who you surround yourself with. And that's one of the things, and not to knock on the medical community, but it drives me nuts when doctors and nurses and people that are in a place of power give a diagnosis because the person is in a vulnerable state and they take that as gospel and they subscribe to it. It implants in their subconscious and then they create the reality. And that's what I learned from my dad. He was like, no, I don't subscribe. And that's when I have medical diagnosis, I'm like, thank you. That's a thought. I don't subscribe to that. I'm going to create a different story. And then I go heal whatever comes. And I can talk, you know, being on Maui, it's heavy. There's a lot. We can get into it. We don't have enough time. That's a whole nother podcast. But, you know, what's really beautiful about everything is the community. They've come together. They're talking. One of the things that I've seen, I'm friends with several police officers and first responders and everything. The only thing that I'm concerned about is those ones. I talk to everybody on this island and they talk about it. And then I get to the first responders and that's where that comes in with, no, I'm fine. I'm good. I'm fine. But the thing is, they're still in active crisis trauma response mode. They haven't had time to sit down. So I'm just kind of doing this as a planting the seed. Whether it's Maui people that are seeing this or anybody, you got to keep your people talking. And like you said before, John, the I'm good and, oh, okay, cool. And then walking away. No, do the extra mile. Take them out. Like, ask them, ask questions. Tell me more. Like that's one of our coaching techniques is tell me more. When you say, tell me more, people will tell you more and they need to get it out. So
boxing. Going on Hawaii, we know we did the devastating fires, the whole bit. But once again, like the police department, Maui, you go back into their culture. You go back into the Hawaiian culture. You see it, you know, hey, you know, they are centered. They relax, they decompress, they speak, they're never rushed, they're never really on edge. So you see the cultural difference between like a New York always going.
Yeah.
And then you got the Maui people, and you see how they respond to a catastrophic incident. They show their love to each other. They speak it out with each other. I watched people on the news and I was like, wow, they're really taking that, you know. Such a devastating thing. They're taking it like one moment at a time.
The world can learn from Maui and Hawaii. Oh, the culture of the aloha spirit. So I went to school. I put a whole bunch of, you know, papers and credentials to all of the stuff. But honestly, all of my spiritual lessons, my energy lessons, the life lessons that I am rooted in are from what I've learned from this island because of the culture and the way. So the world really needs to, you know, tune in. tune out the conspiracies and the bullshit. I'm just going to say it really pissed me off that people turned on the cops and the first responders. Those guys are, they're from here. They lost their stuff too. This is their family. This is their land. They're fighting every day. I'm going to get choked up. So I'll but anybody that's being, I'm going to censor myself, being not nice to the first responders are really ignorant. And I'm just going to throw that out there. But the community, and that's for everybody. The narratives and the news and the media is not the true reflection of how the society feels about first responders and cops. Don't let the loud voice of a few make it bad for everybody.
Absolutely. There's actually a testimonial from an officer in Maui. I'm not even going to try and pronounce his name, but you can go on the website and look at it. If we talked about, I think before the show, Tammy, about fine, what that word means. Can you just tell everybody listening and watching?
Well, the acronym, we can make it up, but it's a red flag. I don't know exactly.
It's a red flag.
Because the thing is, I'm fine. The I'm fine is an indicator of they're going to tell you enough, because if they start getting into it, they're going to break down. They are holding it together. So I have a friend here. She's not law enforcement. She wasn't directly affected by the fires. But a week after the fires, her boyfriend had a seizure, hit his head and died. And she came home to find him. So now she's got this whole, she's got her own grief, but now she's got her own PTS. She's got survivor's guilt and remorse because her trauma isn't as bad as that. That's the other thing, is don't compare your traumas. If you're in pain and you're in trauma, that is yours. It's not to anybody else to tell you what's right, what's wrong. But you do need to seek the support. Nobody needs doing stuff alone. No. And that's the thing. When somebody tells you that they're fine, and this is where the spouse and family component comes in, it's typically the significant other or the family that's going to notice when especially an officer, but even dispatch. So dispatchers here, they took in over 4,000 calls that day alone. They're burned out. They're tired. And there's nothing they can do. So we really got to come together and support each other. And when you recognize these red flags, somebody's coming in late, they have a bad attitude, that disgruntled guy that everybody doesn't like, and they're such a, I keep saying, that person.
Starts with an A or a D. Yeah.
Or a D. I keep going for the D, and I'm really hanging it up. Okay, I'm just going to throw it out here. My personal rule in life, don't be a dick. Everything else, if you just follow that, you're good.
Right.
And I think we can end the podcast. No, I'm kidding. So we got to take our last break, but Tammy, you said it best. We'll be right back.
To the Health Engineer Show, I'm Cliff Buechler, the Health Engineer, right here on the Off Beat.
Hi, I'm Larry Cliff.
Hi, my name is Susan Hamilton, and you're watching Off Beat. Hi, this is Doreen Milano. Welcome to Big Ideas Small Business, where people are talking to Terry Arjala.
Hey, welcome back to Badge of Honor with John and Sam. Almost forgot our names right there. I was trying to say OBBM Network and John and Sam, and it was just all getting thrown up in one thing with our special guests, Tammy and Chris with Law Enforcement Coaching. I'm fine. I'm okay. Keywords, like you said, Tammy, bring up a lot of things. The dishevelment of somebody's uniform that always came in crisp and clean. Now their shirts are wrinkled and dirty. The family, when we said the family sees this first, right? And now I don't know how it is so much. We've done some workshops. We did some family workshops over the last year. And we're still seeing that the family goes, well, I really don't know what he does at work. Or, yeah, he just comes home and he decompresses. But they're not being fully engaged in what post-traumatic injury really looks like. And they see the anger issues. They see maybe the excessive drinking, but they write it off. But that's why more of the family components got to come into the law enforcement coaching, into these workshops, into post-traumatic stress. It's got to be a team effort.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you, if you look at the self-awareness aspect, I always explain it like this. If I had a smudge on my face, how do I know I've got a smudge on my face? Well, right, you guys are going to tell me.
Tell you, or yeah, you go into the bathroom and you see it.
Exactly, right? Yeah. First thing is probably somebody's going to tell me, right? And that's where the family comes in. That's this is where your significant other is going to tell you, hey, you're acting like a jerk. Hey, you're isolated. You don't want to go hang out with family or friends on the weekends. You're really short with the kids, right? The family, they see a change in you. Okay. They're going to be the ones that are going to tell you the first that there's something wrong or something happening. You're not the same person that you were. The other thing too, like you said, Sam, is you're going to look in the mirror, right? That is the self-awareness. Why am I crying for no reason? Why do I feel like I'm in a constant state of anxiety? You know, like, it's Halloween's coming up, so you're going to have these haunted houses popping up on the street corners here and there. That feeling that you get when you go into a haunted house, you know you're not going to get injured, right? You know you're not going to get attacked, but you're anticipating that jump scare, right? Some officers will go years. I did this. I went years in that state, in a constant jump scare state, not realizing. I was always sweating. I was always anxious. And it's like that self-awareness is so important, because once I realize there's something wrong with me, I need to get help, right? I had to hit rock bottom in order for that to happen. But again, your coworkers are going to tell you something's wrong with you, your family, you know, before that self-awareness even happens. So as a coworker, say something. If you notice something in your buddy at work, in your coworker, say something to this person, allow them to talk. And I'll tell you, most cops, they don't know what to say. They don't know how to start that, right? And it's okay. You don't need to know what to say. Just allow them to vent. Allow them to talk. Go ahead, John. Sorry about that.
But a lot of families got secondary trauma. You hit it. They have to say something, right? But like a beaten dog, right? If I come home from work and, you know, my spouse turns around and says, hey, what's wrong? Nothing. I had a bad day. You know, it's almost that flinch reaction, just like you said, that jump scare reaction. That happens to our families because they don't know what the appropriate time to speak or how to speak about what happened at work. They want to try. They don't know how to ease into it. They don't know the questions to ask because they're scared they may hit a wrong nerve where it may push somebody off going, it's none of your business. You know what I'm saying? So it's a fine line for family as well. That's why they have to be educated in how to have a direct conversation and when, the time and place.
The key there is education. You know, a progressive department, a smart department is going to educate the spouses. They're going to educate the spouses while the recruits are in the academy, right? Start there. And throughout don't just stop right there, though. Throughout the years, do refresher courses so that, because I guarantee you, if husband, wife, or significant others, they attend a training where they talk about post-traumatic stress that law enforcement officers are going to experience, I guarantee you the spouse is going to look at their significant other and say, you're experiencing that, boom, 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 boom. And now all of a sudden the self-awareness begins. But they need to be educated. They don't know what they don't know, the spouses. And, you know, the example you gave, John, I'm fine. I don't want to talk about it. You know what most officers are doing when they say that? They're protecting their significant other. If I just gave CPR to a dead baby, do you think I want to tell my wife or my significant other or what just happened? No, I'm trying to protect them, right? So oftentimes it's fine. How was your day? Good.
Yeah, but like me and Sam bring up in the workshops, and Sam will agree with, you know, the time of protecting your family is over. You know, since the internet and TV and news, they see what's going on. You know, and it's not like they're blinded to what law enforcement or fire department or EMS or dispatch does. They know it. They see all the TV shows. They're watching all this. Yes, we don't have to give the gory details. We don't have to say, give it detail for detail. But as an officer or a firefighter or anybody, you turn around and go, hey, listen, I lost a child
today. Bad day. Yeah,
I lost a child today. It was kind of rough. Oh, okay. Don't have to get into details, but I lost a child. I witnessed a bad wreck. I was at a fire where someone didn't survive. those are all, you know, the spouse is smart enough now. We're not back in the Betty Crocker days. The spouses are smart enough to be able to go, I get it. I get it. Let me give you your time.
Well, most, I'm sorry, Tim, really quick. Most are smart enough. But the other thing, too, is some might actually take it like they're not in love with me anymore. Right. They don't even want to talk to me anymore. They're isolating themselves from me, not realizing, no, they're trying to protect you. So the key component there is communicate. Communicate with your partner on what are the boundaries? What can I share with you? Right. And open those lines of communication. That is important. That is key. Sorry, Tammy. Go ahead.
Proactively communicate. So one of the things that we brought into the coaching is we do academy coaching. So we work with officers from the beginning of their career. We teach them that it's okay to talk about, you know, whatever, and just to talk. Right. But with the spouse, and this is my bread and butter here, because this is my component, the family and the spouse. Because I grew up in law enforcement, there's a lot of things that were just ingrained in me that are common sense. Second nature, like you don't put a whole bunch of your dirty laundry on Facebook. Even if you're posting anonymous, it's very easy for people to figure it out. And what these spouses don't understand, especially when they're rookie wives, you know, is that shit can come back and get your person in trouble, male, female, whatever you subscribe to. It can, if you post Facebook and they do it, all of these spouse groups on Facebook, yes, you need to have community, but you do not need to be in a community that's going to commiserate and just enable you to be in this, you know,
right. Whatever. Especially the public group. So
the public ones, and they right. post all of this stuff, and it's like, right. no, but they don't know what else to do. And so there needs to be education. And like Chris said, a smart, progressive department that really cares. Recruitment and retention are these key words that everybody's having an issue with. I can tell you real quick, you want to fix your retention, support the families. Invest in them. Stop telling people like us that there's not enough money in the budget. Bullshit. Mm-hmm. You know how much it costs to replace one officer? You know how much it costs to do a couple sessions with us? $150,000 to replace, and it's not an even trade. You're losing a 15, 20-year vet that actually understands the streets, and you're getting somebody that barely passed. The standards have been lowered, and they got in. Good luck. So I got a little heated on that, but we hear it all the time, and it's like, invest, take care of your people, and everybody should be lobbying, because like in Arizona and other states, once you retire, there's no medical insurance. Right. Your pension exactly. drops down, and then you're not taken care of. Military at least has the VA, yeah. right? So on a national level, law enforcement should just default have insurance. If you want to keep people and bring people in, take care of your people. I got a little heated on that, but man,
I love it.
Arizona's got no insurance.
No.
It's like $1,200 out of pocket for one person, not the family.
Yeah, in order to maintain my insurance after I retired, I'd have to pay like $2,000 a month just to maintain the same insurance.
Yeah, it's the whole insurance. Well, that's a whole other podcast. In terms of investing, again, this time has just flown by. John and I are huge proponents. Don't reinvent the wheel. Get with people that have done it and are doing it successfully. Yes. You got two people right here. So visit lawenforcementcoaching.com at any level of law enforcement. If you've just started, set yourself up now. If you're in management, you guys have tons of programs. You seem to have dotted all the I's, cross all the T's. I know there's always going to be something to learn, but you've got the safety net set up. So folks, reach out to Tammy and Chris, lawenforcementcoaching.com. You guys, we want to thank you so much for
just
being
at that team. And wealth of experience.
Oh yeah, I mean, like hundreds and hundreds Huge. And hundreds, well, thousands Huge. Of thousands of hours with all yeah. of the coaches. So get with them, and they got the program for you. Get your questions.
One quick thing. Sorry. Because I am on Maui, we did open it up so that we have a promo code for any Maui first responder, and that's family support as well. So Maui Strong 100, free sessions for anybody that's on Maui that's impacted by that. For people on the mainland, if they want to do sessions, you can book a session out of pocket, or the best thing is to get us in front of your department so that we can have a conversation. We can get grant funding. There's money everywhere. I never want money to be the reason that people don't seek support.
Good. On that note, amen. Thank you so much, guys.
Thank you, guys.
Safe travel. Thanks, John.
We will definitely be in touch.
Aloha. Right.
Aloha. Aloha. Thank you.
Bye.
Oh, this was great. Again, don't reinvent the wheel, folks. Go to lawenforcementcoaching.com. Truly, they have you covered. Their entire staff. Like I said, it's thousands upon thousands of hours of experience right there. And, you know, connect with them. They're on social media as well. Guys, thank you so much for tuning in week after week to the podcast. Connect with us on social. We are all over the place. You can connect with us on Facebook. We're on the X, because you can't call it Twitter anymore. You have to do the X. So I feel like I have to do like X.
It's so like X-Men.
People that, X. And then my cheerlead, X. No, YMCA. Connect with us on Facebook, on
That's
Twitter.
That's not a Y.
The Graham. Oh. And LinkedIn, of course. So thank you for everybody that tuned in each week on LinkedIn Live, because that's what we run it there, the show there as well. So appreciate you. We're also out there on Getter, on MeWe. All you have to do is put in A Badge of Honor or A Badge of Honor podcast, and you can get connected with me and John. Hey, thank you so much. You see him every week. Carry the load right here. We are nonprofit partners in their continuum of care program. So if you're not familiar with Carry the Load, check them out at carrytheload.org. We get to do the best part and of what we do with the first responder community with the help of Carry the Load and so many other amazing people connected to that nonprofit. Hey, we seem to be all over the place. Like John said, we've had a hugely busy month. I think it's so fitting that we're ending Suicide Awareness Month by having Chris and Tammy on. Visit abadgeofhonor.org. Click on our events page. You can find out everywhere we're going to be. Thank you to all of our law enforcement, all of our first responders for keeping us safe. Thank you to our veterans. Thank you to our active duty personnel all across the world. We're praying for you every day. John, take us home.
Man, you said the best, but I want to thank the Fort Worth FOP, the Dallas FOP, for hosting that wellness seminar this week. It was enlightening. It was all the members there really bring what all of our grassroots organizations are doing and our corporations are doing for our law enforcement. I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart and Badge of Honor for really making that effort to keep us not only mentally healthy, but physically healthy.
Absolutely. Till next week, everybody. Take care.
Right,
thanks a lot.
A Badge of Honor podcast is produced for the OBBM Network podcast and protected under copyright law. For content permissions, please submit your request to abadgeofhonor.com on the content page. For OBBM Network programming information, please call 214-714-0495 today.